sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobia, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends, though the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, hey, hey. 2021.
Hey, shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
Shut up!
You cannot talk!
Episode 158. Crip walking in the wrong hood. Check it out. New York niggas copy niggas like it's all good. Fuck around, be crip walking in the wrong hood.
Message!
I'm fresh out the slammer. I ain't no fucking bammer. I'm from New York, Wardy, but I know country grammar. Whoop! See me? I get it crook. Niggas go head up, head and front. I go and pop the trunk, come back and pull out the pump. Yeah. My money come in lumps. My pockets got the mumps. You see me sitting on dubs, that's why you bad chump. Don't make me hit you up. These shells will split you up. I lay you down, the coroners will come and get you up. See, 50 play for keeps and 50 stay with heat. I can't go commercial. They love me in the streets. I'm real gutter, man. The hood love me, man. Don't make me show up in your crib like bruh, man. Locked up in the pen, I still do my thing. CO screaming, shut the fuck up in the bang. Oh, that's it? Oh, okay. Hey, welcome. Bienvenue à un autre épisode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, B Black, a.k.a. MrShutUpPodcast.com and a.k.a. Le Grand Papa B. Ding, 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 ding. All right, before I start the show, in case there's any new listeners, I want to give you a heads up, okay, that this podcast you're about to listen to is protected by the red, the black, and the green. And also waves a red, black, and a red, blue flag. Rouge et bleu's up in this bitch. Check it out. I represent and hold it down for black folks who say yes to the question,
are you an outcast?
I also represent and hold it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City of Much Music. This episode is being recorded on unceded Anishinaabe Algonquin territory on March 20, 2024. That was tough to say. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. What's that? I said fuck you too. One more time. Fuck you too. All right, okay. I guess this episode is going to be fuck you too heavy, and I'll explain a bit, but first let me, again, new listeners, just to help you get familiarized with my episodes, my podcast. I like to break down my episodes into three parts, or I prefer to use the term acts, if you will. The first act is the intro. Second act is news and random thoughts. And the last act is guests. Final thoughts. All right. In the intro, so far in the intro, I've played the theme, told you the title of said the title of today's episode, recited some poetry that will somehow relate to the final thought, and welcomed you, warned you about the kind of podcast. Okay, I say warn you, but warn white people about the kind of podcast they're about to listen to. And another thing I like to do in the intro is share some quotes. And today's quote, some simple quotes. Today's quote goes, first one from the good quote. Yeah, and it goes, the moment your gut says no, it's a no. You can unpack the details later. I love that. Yeah, just run. Don't fucking ask questions. Pretty much just run. Run. People are running, just run. Figure out the details afterwards. All right. Second quote from Ralph Waldo Emerson, white man. It goes, to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is the greatest accomplishment. Okay. Pay attention because this will relate to the final thought. And the last quote comes from Bernard M. Baruch? Oh, he's got to be Arabic. Whatever. Okay. And it goes, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't mind. I'm going to repeat that last part. Those who mind don't matter and those who matter won't mind. Oh, my God. Yeah, this one I'm reciting for my own self. I got to be clear. I'm not preaching here, but it's not my intention. It's not to preach. A lot of these quotes are more for me than they are for you. Well, they're more for me, period. All right. Is that it? Yeah, okay. This concludes the quotes for the intro. Let's jump to final thoughts. Oh, my God. Let's post it. What time is it? It's 9:24 p.m. I'm a little fatigued. Okay, let's jump to news and random thoughts. All right, let's go. Oh, my God. Yeah, okay. You know what? I think I'm going to combine those two together. I if it wasn't clear by my intro, by saying that I watch TV Ontario, Télé Québec, and Soul in the City, it was my way of saying I'm a black Franco-Ontarian. Well, I don't know if I'm actually black. I'm black, but raised, grew up with Franco-Ontarians. So in a way, it's kind of like me being a white guy, a white person who grew up around black people. So I'm not saying I'm black, but I'm saying I'm versed in Franco-Ontarian culture. All right. That was just an explanation of all my sound effects. You know, okay, I'm making a decision for today's episode. Because as you could tell by now, I flow between two languages. It's a bilingual, right? But I've decided for this episode, my target audience is a bunch of English people. And any French references that I make, I will translate. But it's my attempt to say, hey, other parts about me. All right? Okay. So, here we go. So, before I start, I think I'm going to create a new thing here, a new, not segment, but, I could call it a segment, but it's called, or no, it's an award called He Speaks So Well Awards. Today I had a thought while driving home and listening to, a podcast, which I'm about to tell you which one. I listened to a podcast and reflecting on the past few days between now and the last episode was published. And I found myself realizing that I have a great appreciation for articulate folks, especially in articulate black folks. Now, when I say articulate, I don't just mean being able to speak, but also write. And sometimes say the things that I can't find the words to say. And then someone steps in and says, hold on. This is what you're saying. Now, a lot of poets have been able to do this. A lot of a few rappers have been able to do it. But poets, more poets than rappers. But I guess I've been reading more, and by reading like audiobooks, or I've been reading articles, listen to a lot of podcasts, consume a lot of content, and Yeah, so I'm giving out three shout outs if I have it like a trophy, I call it He Speaks So Well Awards. Oh, and for those who don't know, He Speaks So Well, it's the joke from Chris Rock about how white people are always fascinated at the fact that black people can be articulate. When I say He Speaks So Well, I'm also trying to be funny, but I'm also saying, because I grew up with the idea that black people can't be articulate, so I'm playing on that idea that, oh my God, holy shit, niggas are real. You know what? I'm being like Thugnificent and congratulating black people for reading. Because I'm ignorant. That's my point. All right, okay. So first award goes to Sister Emily Nicolet, a French woman. She's, you know what? I should have read her biography. Oh, right there. Yeah, okay, I got a link to her podcast. And she is she is a journalist. Come on, what's her street cred? What is her cred? She's a journalist, podcaster. You know what? I know her more from being the French part of Canada land. All right? And, yeah. And I'm praising her for her last podcast episode on Détour. She's got a podcast on Canada land called Détour. And it's titled Journalism. Journalism. You Negroes and your big words. Cathartic. Cathartic. You know what's funny? Okay, if you have been listening to the show, is whenever I struggle with a word in English, I read it in French. Today I'm struggling with a word in French. How fucking embarrassing. I suck at all language. All right, okay. God, I'm being funny. It's a joke. Calm down. All right. Cathartic. I've never used that word before. Anyway, oh my God, focus B. Time is an essence. I'm going to ask you to be patient with this episode, because I'm trying to cook here. I got to let it cook here, all right? So shout out to Emily Nicolet for her last episode, her last podcast, because I finally was able to find the words that I was looking so I can finally write an email expressing how much I appreciate the work that she does. Right? Which is rare, because I rarely like Canadian personalities. Anyway, yeah. Okay, so, yeah. And also, there's something she said in that episode about how people like her, writers, and the person was talking about how exactly that, they help us find the words that we struggle to find ourselves, because, like, people like me, because I go 0 to 100 real quick. I'm very emotional. And when I can't find the words to say or articulate my emotions, then I want to burn something. You know what I mean? I'm just saying, I'm not a violent guy, but I'm just saying I go 0 to 100 and want to do something crazy. Okay. All right. Second person I want to give a shout out to is, holy shit. Well, yeah, okay. Holy, two French, one English person, two Canadians. Okay. This is different for me, man. maybe I'm starting to accept myself more. Second person I want to send a shout out to is content creator, comedian, activist. His name is Renzel Dashington. Yes, you heard it right. Renzel Dashington. I forgot the other guy's name. Not Denzel Washington. I said Renzel Dashington, right? It sounds better in French. Renzel Dashington. All right, okay. I'm sending him a shout out because he broke a story. Okay. In one of his Instagram posts, and he was being funny, but he broke a story about, oh, right. Okay. I mentioned this on the last episode about this this white man personality. Do I have his name? I went straight to... Okay, oh shit. Okay, let me go to the article. All right. Okay. He broke a story about a white boy who is a personality. I swear I read the article. I'm just loading it right now. I'm refreshing it. The ad's in the way. Okay. The title of the article, see if I can summarize who he is. Blague avec le mot haine, on revient d'autres controverses impliquant Guillaume le Métis Vierge. Okay, doesn't matter. So fucking white boy who speaks from Quebec, all right? I think he's a comedian, but whatever. He's a TV personality, but he's a controversial white boy. And, you know, who does white people think? White, you know, like a troll, regular white people bullshit. I read some art. Yeah, apparently he said some anti-vax shit, but I thought what I matter. The recent controversy was, don't want to call it controversy. I'm going to file this under white people bullshit. This dude, the more I think about it, it's kind of funny. This, oh my God. Okay. Basically, he found a clever, non-clever way to use the N-word. See, in Canada, white people use the N-word, find ways to drop the N-word. See, white people, the racism is in there, and they always look for ways to express that racism. Canada. Well, Canada's weird like that, right? And it's always it's always in a way where black people and other racists will get it, and other white people, and they can convince other white people that their intention wasn't racist. It's always like some fucked up gaslighting. So this white boy, what he did, he goes in a forest, he writes the N-word on a tree, and then he's making some joke about he makes a joke that uses this French Canadian expression that worked like a nigger and boulot, whatever. Basically, I think the point is he stands in front of a fucking tree with the word nigga, and he uses an expression to say, I'm putting out a lot of work, I'm working like, and then he stands in front of a tree with the word nigga in there. And it's basically, it's a white person's clever attempt at being racist. That's what I'm saying. At being low-key racist. All right? So I shout out to Denzel Renzel because he's the one who broke the story. But the way he broke the story with, he did it like a la Daily Show style. He summarized. Two things. I remember why I'm giving him a shout out, right? Is A, he broke the story. Two, when I saw white people doing white people shit, again, sent me through the roof. I was angry. But when I saw Renzel's presentation, his video, it calmed me down because he had me laughing. Like that's all you could do, man. Laugh to keep yourself from crying. Laugh to keep yourself from, you know, burning down the city. Anyway, so, my favorite part is, so in the usual white people typical, after I did something racist, I got to apologize for it. I'm going to apologize and explain to and convince all these whites that, yo, these black folks are tripping. I wasn't trying to be racist, but since they're angry, I'm going to apologize for it. Anyway, there's a part where he says, I swear on the soul of my children, I didn't mean to be racist. Renzo takes it to the next level. He says, all right, I'm taking that swear of yours. I'm taking what you just swear, and I'm sending it to the ancestors. So if you're serious about that, if you're real about that oath, then the ancestors will let it be. But if you fucked around on the soul of your children, the ancestors will be talking to your children. All right, okay, to their souls. Shout out to him. Last but not least, and it's a perfect segue to the next thought, is Michael Harriet. I find myself understanding why Public Enemy, or who the real strength in Public Enemy, well, I find myself realizing that I've been taking Harry Allen from Public Enemy, the media assassin, for granted. Like, I never understood Harry Allen, I got the media assassin. Like, why do you need a media assassin? And I fucking get it. I thought he was going around killing journalists. No, he means he's the dudes who makes sure that, you know, who puts up op-ed pieces so, you know, so we could communicate what we do to, basically, the power of media. It's It's not enough to have guns. You got to be able also have the ability to control the media. Okay, I find myself thinking about that while thinking about, when I said that Don Lemon, Michael Harriet, the author of History Black as Fuck History, and whatever, Michael Harriet, right? If you're black, you should know him. If you don't, Google him. He put out a an op-ed piece in Le Griot, and the title goes, Don Lemon Interviewed a Mediocre White Man. I got to tell you something, folks. This episode, initially, until I read that that op-ed piece, today's episode, I was willing to say, fuck everything else. Actually, it's pretty much going to be that. Fuck everything on the docket, on the agenda. All I'm going to talk about is that Don Lemon, Elon Musk interview. But when I say talk about it, all you were going to hear was the whole thing was going to be just me saying fuck a lot. It was going to be a lot. It was going to be me repeating, fuck Whitey, man. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record label as a motherfucking crew. Because that interview, the shit that, okay, it's more complicated. It's me trying to find my thoughts in response to realizing, like, Michael Harriet eloquently explained, put out that Elon Musk just proved to us he's just a mediocre-ass white boy. Meaning, if it wasn't for racism, if it wasn't for white supremacy, he'd be a no-name. He'd be at the back of the fucking line. He wouldn't be an impressive dude. We live in a world where white people have made it so that they're the only ones who get to rise to the top. They're the ones, okay. Oh, you victim mentality. Okay, whatever. Let's see how well you do with 400 years of slavery. Let's see how well you do with Jim Crow. Okay, I don't live in Canada. I don't live in the States. But let's see how well you do after coming from a country that, after it gained its independence, had to pay back the slave owners who lost, had to pay them back reparation for what they lost in slavery. look, okay, you know what? I got to remind myself who my target audience is, and it reminds me of what Bernard Baruch says. Be yourself. Those that matter, those that mind don't matter. So I'm not speaking to the folks that's going to be like, fuck, victim mentality, fucking the slavery never happened, racism's not that bad, you just get over it, walk it off, nigga. You know, I'm not talking to you people. I'm talking to people who know. Yeah, fuck you and your white fragility. I got to remind myself. Bitch, your goddamn podcast. You're not talking. Who is your target audience? Right. Okay. Yes, Elon Musk is just a mediocre-ass white man. And if it wasn't for racism, you'd be nothing. You would not be an impressive dude. I mean, you'd probably be impressive to the white hicks in your community. All right, okay. Let me try to get serious here, right? Initially, I was going to play a few clips from the Elon Musk interview. I mean, the Don Lemon interview. And but instead, I'm just going to, like, try to, like, narrow down my feelings here. Right, okay. But I am going to say, please check out the links in the show notes. They're broken down into the acts of this episode, of this podcast. And they're broken down, so you'll be able to find it. And I recommend reading that think piece by Michael Harriet, titled, Don Lemon Interviewed a Mediocre-Ass White Man. Okay, the word ass is not in there. I'm not going to read it out. It's better if you read it yourself. And it pretty much says what I couldn't find the words to say. But in terms of feelings, the 3 points, I actually wrote it down, right? Because, this podcast about sharing my thoughts. First one, I find myself wondering why, because I like to think whenever I go from A, I go from 0 to 100 very quick, and one way I process those feelings is by figuring out, trying to take the time, what exactly are you really angry at? Because I can't change the fact that Elon Musk is a mediocre-ass white man slash billionaire. He's a billionaire, you know, sitting on top, living cozy, and pretty much gets to say whatever the fuck he wants to say. Right? Hey, you black people come from monkeys, you know, whatever. Okay, I can't control that. So why exactly am I angry at? And it's a repetitive thing. And it's one of those, this is like shit that, you know, talk to a therapist type of situation, type of deal. It's being here again. It's realizing I played myself again. This is the title of this section. I played myself again. This is what been bothering me again. So, Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips podcast, he was asking the question. Yeah, so after the interview, Rod asked the question. I'll bring it up. Forgot to load the question. He asked the question, and there's two parts to that one. To this point I'm about to make. Okay, so Rod asked the question, are y'all learning anything new from watching the Elon Musk video? Now, initially, I wasn't going to answer everyone because usually when people word questions like that, it's usually a right or wrong answer. But again, emotional, I just felt the need to just speak up, and I said and I responded. For me, I'm having one of those moments in life, and it's happened to me before, where I learned that a person I used to have high regard for, you know, more importantly, a white person I used to have high regards for is not only whack, but worse than whack. I mean, he's proven to me he's the worst kind of white person, totally, blissfully, conveniently ignorant about race. Now, to Rod's credit, yes, I get it. It was obvious from the beginning. Should have seen that coming. I was in denial about it. And I think my problem, I was processing these thoughts. I think part of my problem is I blame this. I'm a black guy surrounded by white people. I'm in a sea of whiteness. All right? I'm in a sea of whiteness surrounded by white people. I live with white people. I'm constantly, especially working with white people, I'm constantly code switching. If I start to, I haven't figured out how to integrate my blackness with these white folks. So it's kind of like it's either one or the other. If I bring my blackness to work, a white person is going to die. Or I'm going to get fired. I'm likely going to get fired or arrested, right? So I have to like lie to myself. I have to tell myself, nope, these white folks, I don't have to worry about them, they're cool, they're the good ones, they keep telling me this, and whatever, you know, like, because I'm surrounded by white people who are, like, constantly, who need me to believe they're the good ones. Well, I know for a fact, they and I, we're all victims of white supremacy. We've all been affected by this virus called white supremacy. The difference between me and them is I've had a head start in dealing with, in treating that virus. So all this to say, it's kind of like, the last time something like this, or that I can remember, something like this happened was when, what's his name? Trump won the election. And I remember said, I played myself again. So what I'm saying is, despite the fact that I saw all the sides were there, it's like I needed to believe that nah. Okay, it's all an act. He's fucking with us. He's not really that fucking stupid. The man's a billionaire. He's got to have some kind. It's like, look, come on. He's my betters. He's got to have some kind of intelligence. Like, this whole... when he bought... When he paid... How much of the fuck for... When he paid a shitload of money for Twitter, I was like, oh, shit. Oh, man. The man's a genius. He's going to fix... Oh, shit. What's he going to do? What's the plan? And while the whole, everyone's saying, yo, this guy's a fucking idiot. Holy shit. He lost a lot of money. Goes, oh, hold on. Hold on. He's going to show us. Back off, all right? Back, you know what it is? I blame that fucking picture of white Jesus in my parents' kitchen that I grew up watching. I think I have like this whole white supremacy, I don't know if it's an inferiority complex or I'm like, I give way too much fucking credit to white people, despite the fact that I'm fully aware of my history. It's one or the other. Again, if I surround myself with white people and start thinking about, yo, I know fucking, you guys are product from Jacob. Is it Jacob? Yakuza. You crackers came from cave. Y'all crawl while we were kings, you know? If I think that kind of shit, again, I'm going to get... Getting back to it. All I know is... I bought into the idea that racist people are stupid. Racist people are poor. Racist people... Look, don't get me wrong. I know that institutionalized racism, judges, Trump. it's kind of like, yes, I'm used to the white racist coworkers that I have, but they're not the same, or they're not the same pedigree as the Elon Musk. The two, like, for some reason, Elon Musk, he's there because my coworker is a fucking idiot, which is why he's my coworker. Elon Musk must be a genius because he's not my coworker. He's not on my level. I know I'm laughing as I'm speaking, but part of my favorite episode is when I make my own self laugh. I'm fucking laughing as I as I tell you this. Maybe I'd be crying if I didn't. Anyways, and you know what's wild about this? And this is, there's a Chris Rock joke about how he doesn't allow himself to be surprised by white people. So if he goes, he had an example. If he's on the, is it the Ricky Lake? Not Ricky Lake. Some talk show host. I forget his name, right? Because I don't know all white people. I forget his name. They were really popular back in the days. It was a man or a woman. And he goes, if I'm on their show and the white host comes up, right? Say, hey, Chris Rock, whatever. And then stabs me in the neck. You know what I mean? Take that, nigga. Take that. He'll be like, ah, fuck, I should have seen it coming. Basically, don't trust them white folks. I should know better than trust white people. Not all white people. Hey, look, okay, yeah, hold on a second. Again, I'm not talking to you. If I have to explain to you, if you're someone who I need to explain not all white people, please click off. This podcast is for you. Call it discrimination. Call it segregation. Blacks only. All right, okay. You can't tell. I'm having a ball right now. All right. I remember promising myself I will not allow myself to be surprised by racism. Always see it coming. Yeah, that's exactly it. It's like I convinced myself that I'm a cynic. Turns out I was bullshitting about it. Turns out a part of me still held on to a hope that they're not all that bad. Or maybe, Elon Musk, come on, man. Nigga's a billionaire. He can't be that fucked up. He can't be no smarter than a 5-year-old, than a 5th grader. Come on. No fucking way. And then that interview happens, and I'm listening to this asshole talk, and he reminded me of, oh my God, he reminded me of a white dude that I knew that back then I would even, went as far as to say I considered him a friend. And not just that, but I remember believing, yo, this dude must be one of the smartest people I know, because the way he was able to take learn new ideas. How often he just read a lot. He was very knowledgeable. He was able to break down concepts. Like he would learn new things. He was a computer guy, right? So he was just able to learn programming languages, and he was just, I thought he was one of the smartest people alive. I played myself. But I remember trying to explain to him simple concepts about race. This motherfucker did not go through. And I remember believing that, okay, it must be my fault that he doesn't understand. Maybe I'm not explaining it. Maybe I'm not using the right analogies. Maybe I'm not using the right objects. Okay, two apples and three apples. Tyrone has two apples. And maybe I'm not using the right objects for him to get it. Because I was subscribing to the idea that if you can't explain it, then you don't understand it. Like, I was starting to question, maybe I'm the one who doesn't understand blackness. Fast forward to me finally reading the book, to be discovering the book, White Fragility, and it made me realize that, holy shit, that motherfucker was hopeless. There was no way. It took me a while to realize that, yo, I was trying to get this person to understand something that he either didn't have the brain capacity to understand or was simply rejecting. I ain't trying to hear that shit. No, you blacks are making excuses. Hearing Elon talk triggered those memories of disappointment when I realized that this white dude who I considered like a genius, was a very smart person, that fuck, he's a bloody idiot. I'm trying to articulate like all my idols here. Anyway, yeah. So a lot of emotions went apart that blocked me from seeing what was in front of me. But there's that too. It's just sheer disappointment. I could have save myself the disappointment if I was able to just see it for what it is. Look, okay, I won't deny this won't be the last time this happens. Because I'm still not sure, like I'm giving you all kinds of theory. I'm thinking out loud. I should be writing this journaling, this shit down. But right now I'm thinking out loud, I'm speculating. But I'm still not sure how I allowed myself to not see the obvious. Or how I continued to give this white man, this undeserving white man, the benefit of the doubt. Except for Elon Musk symbolizes my teachers, the people I went to church with. I live in Canada. I live in the city of Ottawa. I'm going to say on average, the average white person is the average is like no smarter than Elon. That was my community. When I see a white person who is like woke, like really woke, not I'm not talking liberal. I mean like fucking gets it. Like yeah, I know John. You know like can articulate concepts about blackness. That even I still learning. I'm like, what the fuck? That's a unicorn. Is that the expression? What the? Are you for real? Like, I'm thinking I'm in the Matrix. Yeah, fuck my, this is a joke. Where is the joke? But in Ottawa, in a city like Ottawa, they're like, I learned that word in statistics. They're outliers. Outliers. Rare. I mean, a few smart white people, but then they ended up disappointing me. But it's fucking rare to find a white person in the city of Ottawa who is knowledgeable of the concept of race, who's a self-aware as a white person and understands what black people are going through. Yeah, did the simple thing of being able to listen. Second, the shit that triggered me was what he was saying, what Elon Musk was saying about DEI. The reason why that fucks with me is because when I hear white people, and shout out to my homegirl, I was going to say, shout out to my homegirl, RD. Because she kept telling me, dude, stop fucking listening to the white folks talk shit about DEI. You'll just drive yourself crazy. What do? Not listen to her. Anyways, the what he was saying about DEI, about how, yeah, man, fuck it. If we keep lowering these standards, and I like how Donald, like, why would we lower standards? I'm saying, if we were to lower, no, but why would we lower standards? No, I'm just saying, if we could. This whole DEI shit was driving me nuts because the whole time he was talking, I'm like, which one of my fucking motherfucking coworkers is like listening to you and going, yeah, fucking niggers, fucking tucking my job, niggers. The whole time, okay, I'm in an acting position. I'm in a supervisor role. This has plagued me my entire career. I have this huge, huge fear of fucking up. Not just fucking up. It's one thing, not just fucking up. I had a huge fear of having white people look down on me. Go, see, fucking DEI. Fucking diversity, you know what I mean? We give these little niggers a chance, and now, I know that's my problem. I know it's for me to deal with, but it's part of the triggering. Like, you know, maybe, you know what fascinates me, and I just realized this recently, what fascinates me is people who don't care what other people think about them. Shout out to those of you who go, oh, duh, who do, what the fuck? Nah, for me, that's a magic trick. Well, you got to work on that. Yeah, no fucking shit. But anyways, that's not what this podcast is about. You meet me where I am. Anyways, so I guess that's part of it. This whole, the white gaze, the whole. See, the thing is, I'm realizing that in order for me to succeed, I got to be willing, ready to accept that mistakes are going to happen. You're going to fuck up. You're going to, you know. Mistakes need to happen so you can learn more. My problem is I always feel like I gotta be like, when I show up to work, like Obama, perfect, can't fuck up, balance everything right. That's why I never wear a tan suit to work. You know what I mean? But you know what I mean, like, I always feel like, cause you know, maybe that's my problem for watching all these Hollywood movies, like these Black History movies, and it's like, Jackie Robinson, like all these people, fucking Black excellence, all these Black folks who were rejected at first. It's like, yeah, no nigger's gonna play hockey, no nigger's gonna play baseball, blah blah blah, and then they play and they surpass expectations, like they blow motherfuckers, like boop, another home run, Jesus Christ. This talking monkey, anyways, is making us look bad. Whatever. Yeah, so I'm so used to those images. So in my mind is, maybe I should mention that, you know, my therapist has already talked to me. I should mention that, shout out to my therapist. Yes, she has talked to me about, hey, learning to forgive yourself. And two, nah, you don't have to be on all the time. Just do it. Just, anyways, so... Yeah, I always feel like at work, I gotta be like, that whole, you gotta be twice as good at the white man. And don't burn out. Twice as good just so they'll be like, he's all right. He's all right. So I'm stressing myself out over making mistakes. I'm stressing myself out over the idea. You know what? It's not that I'm worried about my coworkers. I'm worried about upper management being talking that DEI shit, and a lot of them, they can't tell, you know, they spit out they say shit, and I'm like, I don't, they leak shit about their thinking, and I'm like, yo, only a person who thinks DEI is bullshit says that kind of shit. So yeah, so what he said about DEI triggered me. Last point I'm gonna make, you know what's funny? Like I said, I had other items. Shout out to myself. I had a lot of other things, a lot of final thoughts that I want to bring up, but I knew I was going to get passionate about this particular subject, and I told myself that I was just going to focus on Hold on. Why's my mouse not working? Ah, shit. Hold on a second. Uh-oh. My computer freeze? Oh, this is embarrassing. No! Oh, I'm sorry. Okay. Fucking. If my computer was black, I'd be fucking blaming DEI. Fucking, see? Diversity inclusion. I give this motherfucker a... Okay, it's not my computer that crashed. It's this B-Link. Get it? B-Link? B for black? Anyway, yeah. What do you call these things? These little mini PCs? Yeah. Holy shit. It just crashed. Fucking. Sorry. I feel like a slave master. Slave owner. About to beat a slave. What the fuck, man? Okay. All right. My computer just crashed on me. So what's going to happen is I'm going to keep talking. I'm rebooting. Hey, by the way, I have a Patreon, or if you just want to donate, I don't have a donate button yet. I mean, Cash App. No, we don't have Cash App, but in Canada, we got CertiPay. Not Instagram. Interact. Yeah, whatever. CertiPay. my point is, I need money. I need new equipment. Okay, all right. I got my agenda still going on. The mini PC is just so I can play sound effects. So as this thing is booting up, I'll continue what I was saying. What was the point I was saying? Oh, yeah, DEI. The last point I was making is... my own handwriting. Oh, the last point, I will just end it, and Michael Harriet covered it already, is... and again, outside of the things I know that I can't control, is the audacity of this mediocre white man... praising himself like that. Now, praising himself is one thing, you know what I mean? If you want to feel good about yourself, respect that. But it's the, oh, you niggas need to pick yourself up by the bootstraps. No, he didn't say that. No, but it was the yeah, let's not talk about racism. You need to just get over it. It's him being a mediocre white man, being praised by society for being this amazing genius. You know, shout out to Don Lemon. Like, you know what? I'm going to be Mr. Naive, benefit of the doubt again, and pretend like I'm Don Lemon. I'm going to say, you know what? Who knows? Maybe Elon Musk will be able to explain how the racist shit he does isn't racist. Benefit of the doubt. Maybe he'll surprise me. Maybe he'll explain. Maybe I'm the one who's not seeing things. Like, hey, you know, why are you forwarding shit about the Great Replacement? Huh? That's kind of racist. You know, maybe he's going to say some genius E equals MC squares, and that's why if you minus 5 and then divide by 6, and that's how what my racist shit that I just said ain't racist. There we go. There. I just saw Oppenheimer, and it was really cool to see these scientists worked together as they were figuring out the nuclear fission. You know what? Sorry. I'm realizing that, despite the fact that my name is B Black and I'm a self-proclaimed pro-black, I don't eat pork. That's not true. What the fuck? Okay, my computer's really dying. Oh, shit. Sorry, gang. I just rebooted my computer, and it's still dead. Ben, j'ai mon Christ de voyage. Okay, sorry. Focus. Yeah, what was I saying? Yeah, mediocre white man praising himself. I can't control that, but it still annoys me how... what is it? People who... grandiose themselves, like make themselves out to be what they're not. But I guess if you're able to do that, fuck you gonna do? You know what I mean? Fuck you gonna do? Like, I'm thinking of that scene in The Wire where season one, where D'Angelo takes his the mother of his child to a fancy restaurant, and they're sitting down, and he's feeling like awkward and shit. And he starts wondering, say, you think they know that I'm the only reason I'm here is because I sell drugs and shit like that? And his girlfriend is like, nigga, please. I'm paraphrasing, by the way. He says, look, man, nigga, you got money. You can be whatever the fuck you want to be. It reminds me of something that was said in, was it Westland? Westworld? That show about, what do you call that? Not sci-fi, but robots, androids, right? And they have these, like, basically they create a fake world. And you're interacting with robots, and it looks so real. And this one visitor, this one character, he's in the world. He's like in this. It's kind of like a simulation. No, it's not a simulation. He's like in a world, but it's not human beings. It's all like machines, and who look like human beings. And I remember when he goes, one of the characters goes, "Is this real?" And the robot responds, "If you can't tell the difference, does it matter?" Basically, you know, shout out to girls who fake orgasm and are really good about it. If you can't tell the difference, doesn't matter. Hey, look, she convinced me. Now, here's your money. Yeah, man, this is just me processing my feelings. Okay, all right. What time is it? Okay, you know what? I think I'm going to... Yeah, I played myself. Rod's question. Yeah, I feel like I said everything that I needed to say. Let me see how long is this video as I wait for... Actually, you know what? I don't think I'll be able to play it because the computer that I use to play sound is... Oh, wait. Okay, hold on. Let's see. It's back up. Let's see if it's responding. And it's a 1:14 video. Okay, all right. So before we jump to final thoughts, I feel like playing this game with you real quick. Try to lighten up the mood. Again, shout out to those of you who are being patient with me. I know I'm all over the place, but... Yeah. I'm just going to conclude that Elon Musk segment with Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be that with Whitey... then you know what to do. Yeah. Okay. All right. So, I was going to be, this was going to be the last section, but I'm going to play this a quick game. It's called Know and Don't Know. As the shit loads. Hold on. Let me get these names. And, so I don't know if you guys know Van Leighton from the Higher Learning podcast. Whatever, Google him. Van Leighton, right. So Van Leighton on his podcast, he, this show off recites the name of 25 black porn stars. And I remember just seeing the caption and promising myself to, you know, do some research. And but before I continue my research, what I'm going to do is I'm going to have him recite that list of 25 porn stars. And out of those 25, see how much I know. So I got a pen and a paper here. And for everyone I know, I'm going to put a check mark. All right. Okay, let me close this. Close this. All right. I'm just trying to get set up here. My computer's tripping. If it crashes again, then, you know, file this under... me being insane. Okay. All right. It's loading. Right. Okay. All right. Now I'm going to play it. You ready? Okay. So here's the video. 1:13. So here we go. Refresh. Okay. So he's going to recite. So he's going to say some names. And I'm going to see out of the 25, which ones do I know? Here we go. This is for my pro-black license. Do I get to keep? Okay.
Do me a favor. Name 5 porn stars.
I can't.
Okay, you guys are about to ask me right now, can I name 25 porn stars?
Go off.
I wasn't.
Okay.
But since we're
here. All right. We're going to do men, then we're going to do female. Skin Diamond.
Nope.
Honey Gold.
Nope.
Asa Akira.
Nope.
Nautica Thorne.
God damn.
Mika Tan. I'm just doing the Asian. Then you got black ladies. You got Diana DeVoe. You got Janet Jackman. You got Cinnamon Love. You got Obsession. You got Pinky.
Yes.
You got Roxy Reynolds. Really? You got Tiana Trump, yes. Chanel Hart, Cherry Hilson,
nope.
Minaj Araz. Damn. You have Ebony Eyes, Dynamite, Champagne, Damn. D. Then you throw some guys in there. Mandingo, Brian Pumper, Nat Turner.
Nat Turner.
Turner.
I do love these names.
Jake Steed, nope. Kieran Lee. He boxes with me. Shout out to Kieran. Last Fire, Ricky Johnson, Ricky's Room.
That's 25.
That's 25?
That's 25.
You didn't name any white people.
Oh, that's before I get to the white people.
It doesn't. There you have it, folks. I'm making this all about me. I ain't shit, all right? I thought I was a degenerate. Shout out pastor's kid. How am I a fucking pastor's kid and I don't know these porn? Okay. In my defense, all right? I think I have like a, I may have a dysfunctional relationship with porn, because it's only now that it hit me. I'm going to say something that's going to be weird. I want you to brace yourself, right? It's only now. Okay. Look, I'm just going to start out by saying, I think I discovered porn when I was 7 years old by mistake. I shouldn't have. I would say on the list of biggest things, if I could change things, I would do it. I would not have allowed that 7-year-old to discover porn. But anyways, it happened. And ever since then, I've had a dysfunctional relationship with pornography. Like, to the point where I thought that shit was real. All right? So fast forward to now, I'm slowly unlearning the fact that, oh, this shit ain't real. These are actresses. They're human beings. And the more I'm unlearning, the more porn is like, oh, man, this is not fucking fun. This is boring. This is tragic. No, don't get me wrong. No, I'm not saying porn is bad. I'm saying the way you should be consuming porn, the way your synapses should be like, okay, I guess I'm saying, is there such a thing as a healthy way to watch porn? I'm saying I'm in the category of not unhealthiness. So all this long shit to say that I rarely paid attention to the name of the performers. It was really, the only time is, there was a few times, is one, one, if they're huge time celebrity. Two, I was like, damn, I want to see more of this shit. But I wasn't writing down their names. Like, writing down their names because, like, look, I wouldn't be one of those people who would go to, like, a porn convention and get the signature of a porn star. You out your mind? You know, I don't see you as a performer. I see you as this thing. I'm being problematic. I know I'm not being a saint in what I'm about to say. But yeah, in my mind, you're this thing, an object that just allows me to bust it up. It's not about sex. It's not about connections. It's not about anything like that. It's just I have an itch, and you help stimulate that itch so I could get relief. So yeah, so I was bad for names, but holy fuck, 1, 2, 3, 4. Damn. 4 out of 25. Okay, where I was going with this, right, was more of the fact that, I misread that question. I thought he was naming, initially, I thought he said 25 black porn stars. And the joke was, out of those 25s, I was going to say, how much do I know? And if I don't get a passing grade, then I lose my pro-black license. Since he said all kinds of porn stars, because I'll go over that list again. It just means that, yeah, I consume porn, but I don't get the time. I don't take the time to get to know the performers. All right, okay. Now this concludes news and random thoughts. Let's jump to that was tough. Let's jump to final thoughts and let's pretend like this was a. You know, when I do these things, I feel like I'm a professor. And we do final thoughts. We do the last chapter, and y'all get to get the fuck out and go home. All right? Okay. All right, let's go. All right, okay. Final thoughts. Oh my God. What's really funny is, what's also funny is how the focus on today's episode was going to be on Final Thought. And instead, and then that Don Lemon interview happened, and then it sent me into a different world. All right. Yeah, so just for those who are new to this podcast, usually there's varieties of ideas in Final Thought. But I knew I was going to stay, have a lot to say about that interview. But okay. All right. Final thoughts. Where do I start? What's up with today's title? Okay. All right. So for those of you 50 Cent fan who recognize that it's a verse from, what's the name of that song again? Poor Rich. Oh my God. It's name, Poor Little Rich. Oh, Poor Little Rich, dude? Is that the title? Yeah, whatever. Poor Little Rich from 50s Get Rich or Die Tried album. You know what? Quick thought is, actually, if you know me, I'm actually surprised that I went with 50 Cent. It's rare. Usually, it doesn't matter. I think I found an opportunity to find a rapper that's not Jay-Z, Nas, Ice Cube, or anyone else that I usually rap songs that I get my titles from. I found an opportunity to find someone that's not them and just used it. I was going to say that, so 50 Cent is not on my top five, but I am going to credit this man for, I still remember the buzz for 50 Cent before he released his Get Rich Die Tryin' album, before, when he was just a releasing the album as mixtapes, and the buzz around his name, like everyone was looking forward to his new album, and I still remember when it came out, and I showed up to the store. Did I show up on opening night? No, I still remember walking to the music store to buy his album and being shocked at the fact that, wait a minute, there's no lineup. Like, I was so sure, like, his album was gonna be like sold like Cabbage Patch Kids, and the people were gonna storm it. I remember getting there. I'm like, wait, what the fuck? Salesperson's looking at me. And it's like, I didn't know you people woke up that early. Anyway, must be the first of the month. Anyway, so I had an opportunity. I bring this up because I was playing that album over again, and I was going through memory lane. All right, what's up with the title? Yes, came from 50, a track by 50 Cent, Crip Walking in the Wrong Hood. And I think the idea, the main idea, the main takeaway, well, A, I picked that particular verse because it's on the list of, if I were to make a quotables by 50 Cent, this would be like this would be on my top five out of verses that 50 Cent has said. It's on my top five list. The other contender was Manny Man, Wish Death. Oh, no, it's the track, the verse where he says, death gotta be easy because life is hard. Anyway, so instead, the winner was Crip Walking in the Wrong Hood because I thought it was clever and I thought it made me funny. I thought it was funny. It made me laugh. All right, so, but I think the main idea of it, okay, first let me explain how we ended up with 50 Cent. On the last episode, I talked about how 50 Cent was making fun of Young Buck. Young Buck, yeah, 50 Clouds, Young Buck for being transphobic. There's a picture of him standing, there's a picture of 50, Young Buck, and this trans woman. I'm not sure what's her name, does it say? So we'll get us a personal favor, private, okay, transgender relation, okay. And yes, and he, and in this picture, yeah, 50 Cent is standing next to this transgender woman, and Young Buck is keeping his distance, letting her know, I ain't down with that shit. He's keeping it separate. And then 50 decided to show this picture, and he goes, I'll read the article, which I rarely do. It goes, 50 Cent clowns Young Buck's sexuality with throwback pick alongside transgender fan. Oh, okay. He goes, 50 Cent still won't get off Young Buck's neck about his private, very personal sexual preferences. The Power Titan continues to clown Buck over his alleged transgender relationship. Yeah, I think something going on with Young Buck where he claims that he was catfished by a transgender woman. And then 50 Cent, not that 50 Cent is like a social justice type. I don't think he's like, whatever. But he's using this moment to be able to make fun of Young Buck in true 50 Cent fashion. But the way in the caption of that picture, the way he described it, I kind of like. He said, when you're comfortable with your sexuality, you move different. Peep how the one that's trying to distance himself is the same one who got with one. Shaking my head. Anyways, yeah. So, doesn't matter. I think the key word what I want to stick to is his usage of the word move different. It ringed in my mind, that usage of the word. And I found myself thinking along the same idea, the same notion is, When you're comfortable with yourself, you move different. Holy shit. You know what? I promised myself not to preach on this podcast, but this shit is going to feel like preaching. I'm not apologizing, but I'm just realizing that I feel like I just set the cut like I'm a preacher. I just read a Bible verse. Okay, all right. Now, this is what we're going to be focused on. The concept of moving differently. Move different. And all this to say, now I'm going to read what inspired today's final thoughts. So in the subreddit, the highly sensitive person subreddit, someone put out this post, and it goes like this. You know what? No, I'm not going to read that. Who the fuck am I kidding? It goes like this.
It was sometime last year that I found out that I'm something called a HSP, and when I read about it, everything I've been through in my life from as far as I can remember, suddenly made sense. It was a huge, oh, moment for me. Last night I was told that I'm too sensitive and I need stop being sensitive. That I need to hide my sensitivity and become stoic. That I need to man up. And I agree too. Being sensitive has ruined my life. I've been through multiple depressed eras and have fallen back a lot in my life. I haven't made much progress with my career and financial situation for my age. Right now I'm looking to get married and become stable in all aspects. I really want to grow and achieve a lot of things in my life. I don't want to be stuck in the same state forever. It feels like I've made no progress in life at all since the past few decades, and I am very desperate and keen on changing that. Have any of you been in such a situation, and have you overcome this? How do you prevent your sensitive side from negatively impacting your life?
Amazing. All right, I love that. I won't lie, right? I'm going for my fruit feelings here. He goes, when I initially read this, it was in the morning because, you know, I like to scroll through social media before getting out of bed and facing the world, which is not really a good idea. When I first read this, it bothered me. It initially bothered me. I thought, because usually people in HSP who share their stories, it's like how they overcome. And here I'm reading a story about this dude saying, you know what? I do need to man up. Fuck this HSP shit. This highly sensitive shit is a cock blocker. It's fucking up my life. I need to man the fuck up. I need to be like everyone else. It bothered me that he said that he gave in. And the reason it bothered me is because the part of me that used to think like that still exists in me. There's still a part of me that's going, see, I was explaining to a friend how I was this guy. I reached a point where, except at the time I didn't know it, there was a word for it. Highly sensitive people. Like it's actually a personality trait. But I didn't see it like that. I honestly, I saw it as, be you're fucking too soft. to live in this world. And you're black. Black people ain't got time to be soft. Holy shit, this world is rugged. Can't be fucking sensitive. There's no room in this world for people like you. And what didn't help is I was listening to a lot of these rap artists, these rap stars, talk about how they're ultra masculine men. Like these were my idols. These were like the people who were the template of what a man is supposed to be. And I was kept fucking falling behind on that definition. And I remember reaching a point in my life where I said, you know, fuck it. I'm tired of being a real man. I give up. I'm just going to be me. But despite reaching that point, I still was not comfortable with the fact that I could be my sensitivity seemed to be a lot worse than everyone else. And it's like, this world is fucking, I'm surrounded by people who look at me weird because I have a shitty day when I hear about human suffering. It's like, what the fuck? I'm surrounded by people, just get over it. Walk it off. And I'm like, fuck. So I remember being, thinking like him. And that part of me, I remember thinking like him, and I remember finally ended up in therapy and believing. I said, look, I need you to undo, I need you to stop me from being a bitch ass nigga. Shout out to my therapist. Apparently she saw me coming. She saw me like, okay, oh, I've seen this before. I've done it before. And then I went from I'm tired of being a bitch ass nigga to, oh, I'm a highly sensitive person. I realized that I made peace with it. I came to terms with it. I accepted it. I treated it like, what's that Kanye line? That line, he goes, everything I'm not makes me everything I am. I don't know what was that? Okay. Yeah. Everything I'm not makes me everything I am. So I accepted this trait about me. I worked with it. But when I read his piece, I realized that part of that part in me that's still holding on to who I used to be was like, see, someone else, see, me, fuck that shit. Your therapist doesn't know what she's talking about. You being a bitch-ass nigga. Yes, in me, oh my God, in me, I have an inner Riley Freeman. I have an inner Uncle Ruckus, and I have an inner Huey Freeman. Yes, I have Riley Freeman. An inner Riley Freeman calling me a bitch ass nigga. And therapy has been about muting that voice, silencing that voice, or giving them less importance. I feel like that dude in Beautiful Mind. Okay. And I really hope this doesn't come off as me trying to trivialize schizophrenia. But I'm saying is, I feel like I have voices in my head. If it's not my inner critic, then it's the Riley Freeman saying, what the fuck, man? Hold on. How are you not living up to the standard of being the super thug? And like I said, I need you to be patient with me, man. This episode is going longer than I intended it for it to go. But I'm trying to cook here. So, yeah. The inner Riley Freeman is fucking with me, and he was the one who was upset at this article. Then at some point, I snapped out of it, and I'm like, wait a minute, no. He's a symbol of what I used to be. See, he reminded me that by accepting to be, by accepting my personality trait of highly sensitivity, I'm living up to the line that says, be who you are and say what you feel, because those who mind don't matter and those who matter don't. You know, and to be yourself in a world that is constantly trying to make you something else is a greatest accomplishment. So when I replied to this person, a lot of people put a lot of like clever comment, but I bounced off the top comment. The idea of, I said how much I appreciated his post and said that because it reminded me of my journey from what they just said to who I am today. The difference is valuing the version of me now learned or equates the math formula. Self-acceptance is greater, super greater than the acceptance of others. I want to repeat that. Self-acceptance. That's what happens when you mature. You realize that self-accepting, accepting yourself is greater over everything. Over everything. Especially over the acceptance of people who don't even know their own fucking self. This dude reminded me of why I have this, this anger, this resentment against a lot of the men that I've grew up with, several men that I grew up with, and specifically hetero males. And I'm realizing, yo, most of y'all were full of shit. Most of you were bullshit. I grew up with males who offered unsolicited advice. You know, if you want to get bitches, you got to act this way. You got to man up. You got to be this. You got to do that. You got to cash like me. You got to get money like me. You got to get it like a la Elon Musk. You got to be white like me. You know what I mean? It's like constantly bragging and using you as a way to big themselves up. You know, if you ate more carrots like I did, if you ate more spinach, you get these muscles. You'd be this. You'd man the fuck up. You'd stop being a bitch ass nigga. So, the journey that I'm on now is being a more authentic self. And my therapist, yeah, I'm moving differently, being a more authentic. When people said being a more authentic self, I thought they meant keeping it real. Only to find out the niggas who talked about keeping it real were full of shit. They didn't have that fucking money. Probably the biggest revelation is realizing all those dudes I thought were like pickup artists. Or like just got the girls. Finally, and I learned that, no, these motherfuckers were con artists. Like these dudes would brag about the women they slept with. And hey, what about you? What's your count? Well, you know, I went on this date and she didn't want to have a sex. What? What the fuck couldn't happen to me? Maybe you ain't got no game. I went from resenting myself to now resenting them. I'm on this journey to being a more authentic self, and I think this is why I have a huge appreciation for, I have an appreciation for my siblings in the LGBTQ community. Because they're my inspiration. They're the ones who I can actually learn how to be a more authentic. That's who I've been looking at these days. Not to say there ain't a hetero male that can't teach me about being your authentic self. I'm just saying, they're kind of rare. They're kind of fucking rare. I'm skeptic these days. Anytime, let me put it this way. As soon as you start with, look at me. This is how you do it. Nah, man. Nigga, live by example. I need to see examples. And right now, the only people who've been showing me examples that I can understand and work with are my siblings in the LGBTQ community. By the way, shout out to the Black Fat Fam podcast. It's one of the reasons I listen to them. The first time I discovered them, I'm like, holy shit, them niggas are for real. What the fuck? There's something about that energy that I was not familiar with. There was like a joie de vivre in their voice. There's the way they expressed themselves. Like, I didn't feel like I was talking to people putting on a mask. Let me put it this way. If they have a mask, if there are something there's something about their personality they're hiding, it's not in a way that I'm familiar with. I'm used to dealing with dudes who are like, I ain't down with that gay shit. They're down with that gay shit. They diss you to hide. They take out their anger on you to hide what's bothering them. They're at war with you because they're at war with themselves. Like people who don't, those kinds of people. A lot of my examples are men. Sure, there are women, but there are women who up there who put on, go for life, putting on a mask. You know, you're not really that cocky, but I'm more used to men doing that. Or no, it's not just me being used to the men. I'm used to them being, you should be more like me. And now I'm on this path of being my authentic self. In other words, I'm moving differently. Fuck. I knew this was going to be long. All right, okay. Let me get to... not again. Guess what just... Oh, okay, sorry. I thought my computer crashed again. All right, last point. Last point I'm going to make about being a highly sensitive person, because I've been following this group. Being a highly sensitive person, it's not all about focusing on the fact that your feelings can get easily hurt or the fact that a tragedy will fuck up your entire day or the fact that you'll go 0 to 1. Like you, when you're angry, you feel it's like a fire. You could go 0 to 100 over someone stepping on your shoes. It's not about that. That's how I used to look at it. That's being a highly sensitive person. Nah. At the core of it for me, it's accepting, coming to terms with the fact that you experience life differently than most. You experience life differently than people who are not highly sensitive. And as a result, it's okay. It's okay to be weird, to be considered weird. It's okay to be someone's, you're fucked up. It's okay to stand out. I'm going to use this as an example. Shout out to Rod. I respect Rod as a podcaster. Rod from the Black Guy Who Tips as a podcaster. Even to the point of saying, man, I listen to that dude sometimes. He's like the older brother. Fun fact, he's actually younger than me, but the way he speaks so well, sometimes he's like the older brother and my big brother's trying to make me tougher, whatever. Yeah, so it's not the first time where he'll say something that I didn't take well. But I don't dismiss it. I learn from those disconnects, those split. Not all the time, but I'm prefacing this because I don't want it to sound like I'm dissing the man. But when he asked the question, he said, "Hey, did that interview with I'm paraphrasing did that interview with Don Lemon actually make you realize that?" Elon Musk wasn't about shit. It was a racist piece of shit. And I answered. And in true fashion of people who ask those kind of questions, he responds with, wait, you were shocked? That surprised you? You learned? Oh my God, you didn't see it before? Now, old me, the version of me who wasn't at peace with the fact that I could be a highly sensitive person, would have been like, it would have felt weird. Like, it would have felt like, hey, look at this guy. Hey, yo, this guy's a phony. Yo, something's... It would have felt like he was getting the whole class to look at me and go, hey, look at this motherfucker. He's wearing fake Nikes. You know what I mean? I would have felt like I'm being picked on at the moment. But instead, I remember seeing that question and going, yeah, you know what? I think this is a right or wrong answer, but fuck it. I feel I need to express myself. And I was trying to articulate the fact that it's not that I learned something. No, if I did learn something, is I learned that I played myself. So when he responded that way, I remember getting ready to say, hey, homie, I experience reality different from you. So yeah, every once in a while, the shit you consider logic, because I'm bringing up Rob, but you know, I know other people like that. Actually, my barber's like that. They're like really big on, if it's logical, everyone adheres to logic. Everyone, once you realize, look, once you see 2 + 2, once you realize 2 + 2 = 4, I got two apples. How many apples we have in total? 1, 2, 3, 4. Oh, wow, whatever. If you can look at shit logically, then you'll end up with the same results. And what I'm realizing that, yes, because I love math, right? 2 + 2 = 4. But what's different is you and I might interpret, process the color green differently. Our eyes might be seeing the same, might be receiving the same wavelength. I'm not sure. I'm trying to, you know, how light works. You know, it bounces off the whatever, and then the property, and then wavelength. Our eyes are processing all that. But our brains are like, whoa, 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 whoa. Okay, wait. It's red, but it's like not really red. You know? What I'm saying is the interpretation part. That's where it gets different. It's frequently happened to me that, it's not the first time, I'm in a situation where it's like, you didn't get it? You didn't realize? And like really odd things. And I'll probably lie about, no, I was kidding. I did get it. No, I didn't get it. I didn't see it the way you did. I didn't reach your conclusion. When I think about it, yeah, it does make me look stupid, but it's not that I'm being stupid. I just, it's, you know what? The best examples I could think about is the day I had to put on glasses, I realized that I needed glasses. I'm surrounded by people. The first time I was in grade 3, and it bothered me that I'm surrounded by people that I have to sit to the front of the class to read the fucking to read what's on the board. And my dumbass knows I can't see, so I sat in the back with all the other kids. The teacher was fucking. It's funny that when I think about it, it's the teacher would come around and be like, "Okay, write out what's on the board." I'm like, "Fuck." No, I remember going, please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. Please don't pick me. If I'm lucky, she's not going to pick me. Because it was important for me to sit in the back with all the cool kids. So yeah. But knowing very well that there's a chance that I'm going to be asked to read what's on the board. My turn comes up. It was the worst feeling ever being picked. Like, fuck. Okay, what's on the board? And the teachers were like, you know, hey, shouldn't you be wearing your glasses? Like, fuck. I remember I didn't want to wear those glasses because I didn't want to feel, I wasn't moving differently. I wanted to be like everyone else. I wanted to be able to say that I, you know, anyways. It's happened before that because of, I saw something differently, I processed information differently from everyone else, and it made me look like, oh, you're some kind of an idiot. you know, it's oh, you're weird. But I'm learning you got to accept that. I got to accept, because this is the part where I'm trying to say that I'm not going to preach. I'm not. My dad's a preacher, if I mentioned. And every time he's trying to, like, come on, say it, me donner la morale, when he's trying to, like, tell me right from wrong, it's always a fucking sermon. And anyway, whatever. It's two things. I gotta accept that some people are gonna find me weird, but what's more important for me is for someone like me who comes to terms with the fact that he's HSP is, they don't have to be your friends. Part of being HSP, and shout out to my therapist for reminding me, part of being a highly sensitive person is coming to terms that, okay, contrary to popular belief, you weren't meant to be friends with everyone. You don't have to be friends, you know, your close friends will be the ones who will be like, yeah, no, You being a highly sensitive person doesn't bother me. You having that personality trait doesn't bother me. I know I talk like highly sensitive is like a condition or anything like that. No, it's just a personality trait, like pessimism, like introvert or extrovert. It's just a personality trait. It's just that in this society, being sensitive, be showing empathy is considered weird. It's this capitalistic society. It's like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? You should be looking out for number one. Like Elon Musk. Anyway, yeah. Where am I going with this? Yeah. Accepting the fact that being a highly sensitive person is realizing that, yo, boundaries. Some motherfuckers you got to say no to. You got to be clear about it. You don't have to, yo, like Malcolm X was saying. No, that's not Malcolm X. Aristotle said that. He goes, a friend to all is a friend to none. People like you need to take that shit more seriously. You can't be friends with everyone. See, I used to believe that because I grew up Christian. I thought that it was my role. It was up to me to love everyone like Jesus did. And I only to realize that, you know what? Walking on water, turning water into wine, being born from a virgin. No, that's not the biggest miracle. The biggest miracle is actually loving everyone on planet Earth. I mean, that's the part I don't believe. Yeah, people like us need to move differently. You know what I mean? Don't have to laugh at every joke. Put up boundaries. Or accept it, but at the very least, accept that, yeah. Not everyone deserves to be... I heard the poet Talam AC talk about how only a selected few of human beings get to see him when he's angry. You know what that means? That means everyone else, you're just like background noise. Yeah, whatever, or stuff like that. But you don't get to see. Okay, he's a fucked up analogy, and I'm going to get the fuck out of here. It's like being a prostitute who doesn't kiss on the mouth because it's too intimate. Not everyone deserves, like you as a highly sensitive person, you got to be really mindful about the people you allow to see, the people you allow to have access to the real you. It's kind of fucked up me saying that because I'm on a podcast airing out my business. But I think it's, the last point is if this podcast has been a challenge for me, it's because I'm trying to make peace, comes to terms, be comfortable with that highly sensitive portion about me. In the real world, I've been going about it being a fake human being. I've been going about like being like that person in that article. It's like I meet people and I figure out what do you consider normal and then live up to that. And then I bury who I am and just live up. And incognito. It's like I'm a chameleon. It's like, oh, okay. Okay, all right. You mean to walk like this? All right, boom. But on this podcast, this podcast is I'm trying to be a more authentic self. And the challenge is, yeah, I'm still learning how to be a more authentic self. I'm not saying I'm there. I'm learning. Yeah, keeping it real is not as easy as people make it sound, make it out to be. Especially when you've been spending your entire life trying to convince people that you're normal. All right. Okay. Wow. Holy shit. I forget that I got to be at work tomorrow. Man. Okay. All right. Yo, all this to say, this concludes today's episode. Damn, that was long. Thank you for listening. Seriously. Holy fuck. See, the more passionate I get the subject, the more I can talk about it. Man, okay. Anyways, I really did not mean for this to be an hour, 33-minute podcast, but here we are. Okay, thank you for listening. As always, go to the show notes. Go to my to the podcast episode. Go to the show notes to see the link, to get the links to the things that I covered. And in the show notes, you'll notice there's an extra section called Other Links. Other links are things that I wanted to talk about on the podcast, either did not have time to, but I think it's links that you should look at. And it goes from serious to less serious to more the lengths. If you go from the top, like the top one is about do the right thing. It's a tragic story that happened. Not tragic. It's an image about something that happened in Vietnam. And then it ends with Gasm Girl happy with her cat as she ate together with her. Yeah, it's meant to make you smile. All right? It's a moment of positivity. Think of it like that. This concludes today's episode. Once again, you can holler at me on Twitter, Instagram, Threads. On the social media, on Twitter, Instagram, Threads, using the handle at ShutUpPodcast. On TikTok, it's at ShutUpPodcast.com. But if you're really serious about finding me on the internet, go to ShutUpPodcast.com. Email address is ShutUpPodcast401@gmail.com. Again, you can subscribe to this podcast using the RSS feed that's on the website, or go to your favorite, or Google it. Like every other podcast, I'm not on every platform. I'm working my way up there. Thank you for listening. Seriously, I really appreciate your time. I really appreciate your patience, and I would really appreciate feedback from your part. Well, you know, as long as you're not being a dick. But, you know, can't control that. All right. So thank you for listening. And as always, please remember, be kind to your favorite podcast. All right. Peace.